This is Daf HaShavua, Shir number 3 for Daf Ayin Test in Maseches Ksuvos. We're on Ayin Test in Midbeis, and we are about a third of the way down, where it says, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. It's right next to Tosos, Pera de Pera. So here we go. Says the Gemara like this. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Hichnisa lo eiz lachalava, v'rochel legizasa. A woman brought into the marriage, as part of Nichsei Mulug, eiz, a goat, for its milk. So here we think about, the eiz is the keren, and the milk is the peros, or rochel legizasa, or it's a sheep. And for gizasa, the sheep is the keren, the gizasa, the shearings, are obviously the peros, v'tarnagolus lebeitzasav, a dekel of perosav, or a hen for its eggs. The eggs is the peros, of course, v'dekel of perosav. You have a palm tree, and that's the date palm for its fruit. Ochel v'holech adshech tichle hakeren. The husband is able to eat, consume all of these things, these peros, until the keren is gone, the principle is no longer. So take a look at Rashi, Eiz lechalava, it is the fourth, fifth, thin line down, lechol chalava, legizosel, heinikar shela. These are the, this is the primary, this is what we normally have a sheep for. Lachri nakat lehu, v'uadin deshakil chalav lados, meaning, well, the point is that, yes, there are vlados, there is offspring and milk as well from a sheep, but primarily it's used, of course, for the shearings. So, ochel v'helech, says Rashi, digabi behema ika ora, digabi tanagolos ika notza, meaning, when it comes to an animal, there's always, hold on one second, why should the husband eat the fruit? Isn't this an example of where the keren is going to be consumed completely? It's going to be depleted. Eventually, the eiz, it's not like a piece of land where everything keeps growing every year, but and the land will be there. No, eventually the goat is going to die, and the sheep's going to die, the chicken's going to die, the tree may die. So the keren is going to be gone. Shouldn't we sell it for land? And then he eats the peros from that, and the woman at least has the keren. So the answer is no, because there's always going to be keren remaining. And that's what Rashi saying here. Again, ochel v'holech, Rashi says, digabe behema, ika ora, because regarding the animal, there's always going to be, even if the animal dies, there'll be the hide that's left as principle. Gabe tanagolis, ika notza, you have the hen's feathers. Vigabe dekel, sheyivash, still ika eitzav. Even if it dries up, you'll have the lumber. Avalhani kulu peros ninhu shemiskashim tami v'derech anasami, and these meaning that which the milk, etc. So these are peros that are new all the time, and that is the derech hanah of these items, and therefore the husband is able to have those peros, and there's no need to sell. Amar Rav Nachman ailila glima perahava. Let's say she brought a coat, clothing as nechsei melug. So we consider perahava, wearing that cloak is considered using the peros. Mikasi beva ozil adachalya, and the husband's allowed to continue wearing that clothing until it depletes, until it's gone. So what does that mean? So look at Rashi. Ailo le glima talis b'nichsei melug, afal pishalo shamato b'ksuva b'nichsei tzon barzel, even though it was not written in the ksuva as nichsei tzon barzel, v'litzarech lios keren shamolos, if it were part of nichsei tzon barzel, the husband would then, of course, have to give back the value. But it's nichsei melug, so then the husband has to make sure the keren, the principal, remains hers. So maybe they should sell the clothing for a piece of land so the keren remains and it doesn't deplete. The answer is no perahava. It's like produce, kisuyav, the fact that he wears it, he covers himself, shemachaseh himenu, hein perosav, and umichseh va'azil be'ad dekoli, Rashi says, ve'hashchakim yu'la l'keren, and guess what, the worn out clothing, whatever is left, will be, those remains of that garment will be the principle for her. So that's okay, and we don't have to sell it. So that's Rav Nachman's Chiddush. If she brings in a glima, he can wear it. That's using the peros, and it's even if it's worn out, don't worry about it. The keren remains because there'll be a little bit left. Very similar to what's left of the dekel. I have the timber that's left, and I have the tarnagolis. I have the feathers that are left, etc. Come on. So the Gemara wants to know this Rav Nachman's statement, that a little bit of the worn-out clothing, whatever's left, when you can't wear it as a coat anymore, the husband can't wear it anymore. So that's considered keren. Says the Gemara, who's this like? Ki haitana, like the Tana of the following Gemara. Tanya, hamelech v'hachol harezeh peros. So what does the Braisa say? If you have melach, where you have salt, where are we talking about? So look at Rashi. Hamelach v'hachol. A Nafla, right in the middle there. Nafla, the Yerusha Asfas Hayam. She has a Yerusha that fell to her right by the banks of the sea. Charitzin Asuyin Shemei Hayam Nechnasim Nahem. And they have these ditches where the salt water enters. Vahachama Miyavam Shon. Yavam's by Dead Sea, certainly. But by any sea, really. And what happens? The sun eventually dries out the water of Osin Melach. And then salt, there you have these salt works. Vehein misrefos mayim amurun b'mikra umetagamin charitze yama. When we speak about in Yoshua, misrefos mayim, that is the translation of charitze yama, which are the ditches next to the sea, which is where they would produce, so to speak, the salt. V'hachol, next Rashi, makum shenotlin chol lebinyan, place where they take sand that's strong enough to use for building. So, Hamelech v'hachol, here you have a case where the sand pit was inherited by the wife as nechsem elog, or the place where the salt is inherited next to the sea. Hareze peros. This is considered peros. And therefore, what does it mean? It means that the husband is able to use whatever it is, and that's considered his peros. And we don't say that, you have to sell that property and buy something, land that you can cultivate, and then you'll have a keren that remains. Not true. Says Rashi, Hareze Peros in the middle, V'lo amrini macher oso makom yelakach ben karka barzria, where you can cultivate that land. L'fisha'en perio kalel la'olam. Why? Because the Peros here are not going to be, we would have thought, meaning, what the Gemara is saying, you would have thought maybe I should sell it where to get a karka b'Israel l'fishein perikol olam. So we don't expect you to do that. Even though this may be depleted at some point, nonetheless, the Gemara is saying, the chiddush here is that even though it may be depleted, the keren, nonetheless, you can consider this. The husband is able to eat the pears, and that's what the Gemara is saying. When Rav Nachman said, if you bring in clothing and it's going to get worn out completely, and the little bit of what's worn out remains, that's considered keren, and the whole thing doesn't have to be sold to buy keren. So you know what that's like? That's like the author of this brisa, that melach and chol is also considered peros, and you don't have to sell them at all. Then the brisa continues, pir shel gofris, and machpor shel tzarif, a pir shel gofris, a sulfur pit, and a mine where they have alum, that's where they produce that. Rabbi Meir omer keren v'chacham in Paris. Rabbi Meir there is machmir. Rabbi Meir would say, okay, I understand. I'll admit to you when it comes to melach and chol, that's considered like there's still keren left. That does not have to be sold to buy keren, to buy a piece of land. But here in this case, now this is these have the sulfur and the alum are considered keren, because they'll be completely depleted, and the Chachamim disagree here too. They hold now as the status of Peros. What's this based on? So if you look at Rashi, Pir Gofris, a little bit more than halfway down, Huma, a ditch, Shechofren, Hemena Gofris, which is sulfur, Rechen Mach, Parashel Trif, Alom, Balaz, there you have, Alom, Shetovin, Mehemagadim, Mumeshi, what do I use the Alom for? Is a dye for clothing or silk, Vechofren, Masoba, Karka, and you dig, and you're able to dig it from the ground, Vesofa, Lachalos, eventually it's going to be depleted, Ideally, sowed karkabala, and all you have left is just the foundation of the land. They'll be completely gone. As opposed to, let's say, when it comes to the area by the sea, so eventually water will come in, and then it'll dry up, and then there'll be more salt there, possibly. But here, so the Rabbi Meir says, no, when it comes to the sulfur and the alum, that has the status of keren, and therefore it has to be sold. And the Chacham said, it's peros, the husband is able to eat the peros, and when it is depleted, that's okay. And now what the Gemara is saying is that Rav Nachman, who held when it came to the glima, the clothing, that the little worn-out strands that are left, that's like keren, that follows the opinion of the Chachamim. That's what the Gemara is assuming. Look at Rashi. Rabbi Meir, Omer Keren, a little bit more than halfway down, V'imachir v'lokach b'dam of karka, v'she perio kala, because the peros are going to be depleted. V'chachamim omrim, peros. No, they have the status of peros, umakom ha-guma yel al keren. Where the guma is, that ditch, although there's nothing of the resources left, of the alum and the sulfur, nonetheless, that's the keren. Umizeyo chalabala chayichle, and the husband could be able to eat from their consumption. consume whatever's in there until it's gone. Shezeh perio, v'derech hanaso, v'adin leglima. And that's what it means. And the same thing is true when it comes to clothing. This is not the same as when it came to what? When it came to money, came to a fruit that's detached from the ground. So there the Chachamim agree you have to sell that, and he can't just eat those peros. Each one is, it doesn't produce anything. So there, that's really completely depleted. There's no land, there's nothing there. That, of course, would have to be sold even according to the Chachamim. Says the Gemara like this. Rabbi Shimon Omer, this was the Mishnah. So remember in the Mishnah, we had what seemed to be a three-year machlokas. We had Rabbi Meir's opinion. We had the Chachamim's opinion. And then Rabbi Shimon came along. So the Chachamim had said, where you have peros that are mechuba la karka, they belong to him, the husband, and tlushim min akarka, they belong detached, they belong to her, and therefore, since they're detached, you buy karka and he eats peros. And then Rabbi Shimon came along and gave us this rule. Makom sheyafe, this is on the Mishnah in Ayin Testament Aleph. Makom sheyafe or yipech kocho b'knisasa, where his power, his advantage is greater when they get married. So he has less of advantage when they get divorced. And then the opposite is also true. Malcolm Shahora Kochobikinisasa, where he has a weakened state regarding his rights to the fruit when they get married, Yipa Kocho, he has better, more when they get divorced. Kate said, so he explained himself. So what do we say? When it comes to peros that are mechubar lekarka, attached to the ground, when they get married, they're his, but they get divorced, they go along with her. And when if they're detached on the ground, when they get married, they're hers. When they get divorced, they belong to him. So the Gemara at first glance says, hold on one second. Isn't Rabbi Shimon saying the same as Tanna Kamma? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Malkum Sheyafeh Chocho, Rabbi Shimon Haim Tanna Kamma. Why? Because the Chachamim also agreed with Rabbi Shimon, disagreed with Rabbi Meir, if you have attached fruit, the attached fruit belongs to the husband. It's Shelo. Isn't that what Rabbi Shimon said? So Amar Rava. No, that may have been when it comes to marriage. But mechubarin b'shas yitzia ikave now. The nafkamina is when you have produce that was attached at the time when they got divorced. The Chachamim never spoke about what the status of the fruit is that's attached when they get divorced. That's where they obviously disagree with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that the woman, what does she do with produce that is attached to the ground, mechubarin? The woman takes that along with the property when they get divorced. But the Chachamim would hold, they didn't mention divorce, but it's implied, that whatever grew while the husband had, while they were married, and he had the rights to the nichsei melug, even if it's still attached to the ground, it belongs to him. And that's the difference between the two. Take a look at Rashi, the last Rashi before the Mishnah. The Chachamim were not dealing with that case of divorce. So that's the point is, they don't hold like Rabbi Shimon says, oh, when they get divorced, the attached fruit is hers. They hold. So whatever grew in the husband's rishus while they're married, shelo, there is. So that's what Rashi's pointing out in explaining the difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanna Kamma, where it's mechubar, when they get married, they agree. But upon divorce, that's where they disagree. It's where the Chachamim would hold, as opposed to Rabbi Shimon, who holds that the woman takes the produce at the time of the divorce that was attached to the Chachamim. No, that produce that's still attached to the ground, that if it grew while they were married, those belong to the husband, and they belong to him. We begin the Mishnah. Naflu la avadim shvachos zikenim. Let's say, what fell to her as inheritance for Nichsei Melug while they were married. So she has now slaves or shvachos or maidservants, but they're old. So they're not going to hang around that much longer. So what should we do with them? Imachru, they should be sovi lakachlem karka. And then she'll still have the keren, and the husband gets to eat the produce. It means he's able to use the land as opposed to using the slaves and the maidservants because they're so old. Eventually, that keren will be depleted. But here we'll have karka. The husband is able to eat peros after you sell the avanu shvachos. V'hu ochel peros, the husband eats it. Rabban Shimon and Gamliel Omer lo timkor. She is not able to sell the avanu shvachos zekeinim. Why? Because that's the pride, that's the praise, that's the prestige of a father's house. We mentioned that concept earlier. That's, of course, if she agrees that he can sell them. But if he wants to sell them, she says no, he can't force it because of the Shevach Beis Aviyah. And as Rashi says, Lo Timkor, Yecholi Hi La'akev, she can prevent that sale. What about Nafulah Zaysim Ugfanim Zakanim? They're older olive trees, older grapevines. Here also you're afraid that they're not going to last. So therefore the principal is going to be gone. After the husband uses the peros, yimach, they should be sold. Yikachamim karka vuachal peros. Same thing. You should sell them. Buy karka. He eats the peros, but the keren will remain for her now. Rabbi Yehuda, this is not Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. This is Rabbi Yehuda. Lo timkor. She shouldn't sell them. Yenei shein shevach beis avia. Because no, that's the praise. That's the prestige. That's the pride of her father's house. If this must be, then Rishon Gamliel would hold that maybe there's a difference between the two. Maybe it's true that the Shevach Beis Avia regarding slaves and maidservants, but not necessarily regarding olive trees and gefanim. Says the Gemara, Amrav Kahana Marav, Machlokas Shenaflu B'Sadeh Shalom. When we're speaking about the grapevines, speaking about the olive trees, that's where what they fell to her as a Yerusha in her field. Which means she inherited the trees, but this field as well she inherited. So even if the trees die, so there'll still be keren left. There'll be the field. Aval besadah sheina shela, then divrei hakol timkor. Then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree they should be sold. Mimshim de karkali akarna, because the principal is going to be consumed. It's going to be gone. We wouldn't take into account Shevach Beis Aviyah. Maskevar of Yosef, what do you mean? He challenges Hare Avadim Ushvachos, Dechisadeh She'ena Sheladami. Avadim Ushvachos, what's that analogous to? That's similar to Wasadeh. That doesn't belong to her. Why? Because it's not like they fall to her. Oh, and there's a besides the Avadim Ushvachos is the field that they are living on. So even if they die, so the husband will have the field. Now, the woman will have the field rather as the keren. If he uses up, so to speak, the avad mishrachos and works them, and they're old, and eventually they die. So, if that's the case, so why are you making the argument that everyone would agree when it comes to the zaysim ugfanim? If there's a field, is what we're talking about. But if not, so then the keren kalya karna, and you have to sell them. Why wouldn't we do that by avad mishrachos? If we would do that when it comes to the trees and the grapevines, so the gemara says that's what maskev Rav Yosef. That's like where is she inherited the grapevines or the olive trees without a field there. And then when they die, there's no principle left. Upligi yet, there's a machlokus there. Rav Shimon Gamliel still holds you shouldn't sell them because of Shevach Beis Aviyah. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elein mar hachit. This is what Rav Kahana in the name of Rav meant. I'm Rav Kahana Marav. Machlokus besadeh she'ena shela. Just the opposite. We're now emphasizing the principle of Shevach Beis Aviyah, which means that the machlokes is where the trees fell to her, grapevines fell to her in a field that's not hers. That's where they argue. Where there's one opinion that says, you have to sell. The other says, no, Shevach Beis Aviyah. Aval besadeh shela. But if it fell in her field, then divrei hakol lo timkor. Then even the Tanakhama would hold that what? Lo timkor. Why? Nimnei Shevach Beis Aviyah. Because of Shevach Beis Aviyah. What do you mean, Shevach Beis Aviyah? She'll always have some keren. So, therefore, since there'll be keren now, everyone should agree that we should take into account the concept of Shevach Beis Aviyah.